Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Happy Monday. Victory Monday here in Buffalo. Were y'all out yesterday? Can I just say something? If I was out, now I like to let people have fun, right? I think having fun, you know, this whole thing called life could be over tomorrow. I like to have fun. I like to enjoy life, and I like to let other people enjoy their life. But I got to tell you right now, if I was at a bar watching the Bills game, and there was an adult with my son's bubble machine running around, setting off bubbles every time the Bills scored, like I that would annoy me. Now, would that annoy me if I was, like, you know, in a tropical destination on vacation watching the Bills game? No. If I'm in New York at a bar and there is an older woman running around with a bubble machine, I got to tell you, I'd be annoyed. I wouldn't say anything. I'm not the kind of person. I don't call people out unless you play fish on the jukebox. If you play fish on the jukebox, I will call you out. You're gonna make fun of me playing Kesha on the jukebox, and then you play an hour of Fish and the Grateful Dead, that I'll call out when I'm at a bar. An older woman running around with a bubble machine, I'll be annoyed. I'll come to the station the next day and complain about it. Anyway, great win by the Bills yesterday. I got to start with this. I am Mr. Positive Vibes. Okay, I am. Hey, the team is in a playoff position. I don't understand all the negativity. You want negativity around the Sabres? I mean, hey, they came back from down 4-1 and won in overtime. Positive vibes. But the negativity around the Buffalo Bills. Okay, yeah, they tripped up. They should never have lost to Atlanta. You want to say they should never have lost to the Dolphins, but they were never in that game. And they really shouldn't have lost to the Patriots. But they're in a position now where they have three losses. And you know, they are behind the Patriots by... Now, Tanner, am I forgetting something here? The Bills, are they one or two games behind the Patriots? See, this is the... I'm trying to... Anyway... All right, the Bills, they're 7-3. They're 7-3, and they are in fifth place. They're in the first wild card spot. And you listen to people talk about the Bills. They're a game behind the Patriots. They're a game behind the Patriots. And you listen to people talk about the Bills with all this negativity, like, oh my gosh, they might not win the division. They look awful. Now, I have said, we've talked about this, I don't want to see the Bills waste Josh Allen. No, obviously not. I think that'd be worse than the drought. But as long as the Bills are in a playoff position and they are winning and they play a game like yesterday, and they play a game like yesterday where it looks as if they've cleaned up the mistakes from the Dolphins game, right? Ugly first half, but they did turn it around in the second half. They won the game. And that's all that counts at the end of the day is that you win the game. I don't understand people this morning are still complaining about the team. Now, you know, I don't remember the Super Bowl years all that well, right? That was early in my life. You know what I remember very well? The playoff drought. And for the longest time, you know how the Sabres are a punchline now for many Buffalonians? The Bills were a punchline for 17 seasons. Now, some of those seasons were entertaining, right? 2004, when they should have gone to the playoffs. Some of them were downright awful. Most of them were just mediocre 6-7 win teams. But, I mean, I got to a point where the Bills were great because I would see, you know, Tom Brady come to town. We'd see Brett Favre come to town. You would see all these great NFL players come to town. And, you know, every now and then, maybe the Bills would have a Pro Bowler who wasn't Brian Moorman. I go back to those years. And it's really difficult for me to be anything but psyched over the current Buffalo Bills team, to be more than anything but positive that, you know, right now they're a game out of first place in the division. They're in the fifth wild card spot. What are we complaining about? Games in the past? I don't get it. And, like, I want to know, like, the Bills fans out there, are people giving up on a 3-loss team? I mean, think about the Chiefs right now. Think about the Ravens right now. They have 5 losses. They're 2 games behind the Bills. And all these people that, you know, were so psyched up at the beginning of the season, the team's 7-3. They play on Thursday. Should beat the Texans. You think the Bills looked bad. I mean, the Texans struggled against the worst team in football. I've got to know from people out there, 803-0930, star 930. Now, I know. You want to talk X's and O's of the Bills, you go down the dial to the GR. We're not talking the X's and the O's. I'm talking about how you feel about this team. Right? I mean, tell me why we should be anything but positive over a 7-3 team at this point in the season. Do you remember a few years ago when, I mean, it looked like they might not even make the playoffs and they rolled all those wins to end the season, including the comeback against Miami to win the division? I feel people are more negative this year than they were a few years ago when they had 6 losses. I've got people saying to fire the offensive coordinator, and including one of my favorite people, Assemblyman Angelo Morinello, said yesterday on Hardline. Now, I love Angelo. He is one of my all-time favorite people. He's definitely one of my favorite people in the Assembly. And he said if the Bills didn't win yesterday, he'd want to see the offensive coordinator and the head coach fired. As much as I love Angelo Morinello, I've got to tell you, I can't agree with that. I mean, the Bills culture has completely changed with McDermott. And yes, the Miami game was awful. And if you strung a few games like that together, I might get on the bandwagon of getting rid of Joe Brady. But it was one game. And yesterday, that offense clicked. They were on the same page for the most part. And, you know, all but one season with Sean McDermott, this team's gone to the playoffs, including a team that wasn't even built for McDermott, wasn't even built for the playoffs. It was just great because of Tyrod Taylor. That team got into the playoffs. Like, Sean McDermott took a team that literally the year before was a 6-win team, took them to the playoffs. Ugly game against the Jags, I'll give you that. But we're gonna say that guy who's completely changed the expectations, the reason you feel so negative that the Bills might not have a home playoff game, well, the reason you feel that way is because of McDermott. His teams have been so good that you feel if we don't host a playoff game, it's a lost season. I'm here to tell you, as long as we don't go back to a 17-year drought, as long as we're in the playoffs, I'm fired up, ready to go. I can't wait for Thursday. Bring it on the Texans. And that's the kickoff to Thanksgiving week for me. A Thursday night game in Houston. 803-0930, star 930. How do you feel about this Bills team? I mean, can you justify the negativity? Can you justify giving up on the team when they're 7-3? And you might say, Joe, I'm not giving up on the team. I'm not saying you. But I see people on social media who are like, I have better things to do on Sunday. I don't doubt that you have a very fulfilling life. But if you're watching the Bills home season opener, right? And now they have three losses and you're saying you have better things to do on Sunday. Like, what changed? That's all I'm asking. And as someone says, the Bills wins haven't been pretty. But they're wins. I can point to a ton of seasons where the losses didn't look pretty. But a win is a win. Right? I mean, ask Iowa Hawkeye fans in college football. I don't think Iowa's ever had anything called I think they've all been ugly wins. It's the way they play the game. I'm not saying the Bills are the Iowa Hawkeyes of the NFL. The Bills actually can run up the score. But as long as you win, you win. And I'm just asking around the holiday time. Now, if the Bills lose to the Patriots again in a few weeks, okay. Then we need to revisit this discussion. I agree with you. We'll revisit this discussion and maybe you can change my mind on my positive vibes. But right now, they had an ugly loss at Miami. They lost two in a row to Atlanta and New England. Okay, that's in the past. It's over. Keep on winning. I'm going to keep on being positive. And I'm going to have that hopeful outlook that, yeah, they do beat the Patriots. Maybe the Patriots, I mean, they have a really easy schedule left beside the Bills and a Ravens team that seem to turn things around. Maybe the Patriots lose two more and the Bills win out. 803-0930, star 930. And here, what this texter said is exactly why I think McDermott is a good coach. McDermott can obviously get a team to the playoffs. Winning a Super Bowl is another story entirely. You're right. But he's gotten to the playoffs. And, you know, people who want to move on from McDermott, so you want to bring another coach. Do you think a proven coach is going to leave another team to come to Buffalo? No offense to Buffalo. But he's at least getting you to the playoffs, getting you the chance. I will agree. He's so far has not proven that he can win the big game. But, you know, when you go from fifth grade to almost 30 without seeing your team in the playoffs, I think you see things a little differently. Let's go to Sam in Williamsville. Sam, what do you think?
I'm not negative on the Bills. I still have a strong emotional attachment with them, but I think I echo a lot of the fans is that they're I appreciate the fact that they're winning, but they're not championship level caliber, in my opinion. They don't have a championship level defensive coordinator. They don't have a championship level defense. They have a championship level quarterback. But, you know, if you look at the data and the facts, they're not there yet. And I don't really believe that this year, my gut feel is it's going to be much more the same that you've seen the last 3 to 5 years.
So would you say your frustrations with the front office and Brandon Bean not making adjustments, you know, not picking up anyone at the trade deadline? I mean, the run defense, I'll agree with you, the run defense was awful. I mean, they made that Tucker, a Pro Bowl running back. The guy's undrafted.
Those are good points. I just don't think, you know, the glaring weakness right now is their defense. Their offense, I think, scores enough points to win really 80 to 90% of their games. The problem is that their defense is not that high caliber. And you're not going to be a deep playoff team unless you have a, let me just put it this way, world-class, best-of-the-best defense. Just not going to do it.
No, I mean, there's a reason, you know, defense win championships. I mean, you look at the Ravens in the early 2000s. Their offense didn't win that Super Bowl. Their defense got into that Super Bowl. And you're right. I have this belief that, hey, if they get in, anything's possible because of Josh Allen. But if you're up six with a minute to go, panic's going to set in, I think.
Yeah, they just they can't stop the run. They can't really stop the pass. Now, every so often, they come up with a pretty decent game, but that's not good enough. You can't win at a deep playoff level with that kind of performance, and nobody does. And so you got to look at the top, you know, the leadership there. And no offense to Sean McDermott. I think he's a great guy, a great human being. And I think they've done a credible job of turning around the program. But people want a bona fide winner. They don't want a near winner. They really want, as hard as it is, they want to get to the top of the mountain. And that's just human nature. I love sports. I'm a sports junkie. If you look at their organization, the data for the last 3 to 5, 6, maybe even 7 years has been basically the same. And they're not there. You know what you're going to get? In my opinion, that pattern will continue unless you make some significant changes. And that's going to be like, what if? Let's change the paradigm. Where can we find the best of the best willing to come to the Buffalo? And yeah, you're going to have to pay him, defensive coordinator in football. All right?
Yeah.
And start there, all right? And then have that person be really closely aligned with the head coach and certainly the GM. And it's hard for me to imagine that there's not that caliber of players around with the right defensive leadership. It baffles me that they're not trying to do that. I didn't even know who Babbage was, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, for a while. He's sort of an unknown commodity. He's not a well-known defensive coordinator in football, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know football, but he's not a name brand.
No, Sam, you make a ton of great points, and you're right. I mean, the defense is lacking. They were able to overcome it yesterday, but I mean, can you overcome it when you're playing, a team with a better defense, and you're, and maybe you're, like I said, you're up six, and you've got a high powered offense out there. It's all great points.
They gave up 32 points. I mean, that's not good enough.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Sam. I appreciate you. I appreciate you giving a fair assessment of that. Sam in Williamsville, he's right. I mean, the defense leaves a lot to be desired. I'm saying that the team wins, the team's in the playoffs. But as I said, I can see the other side of it. Because every year, Josh Allen's getting older. Do you feel the Bills are wasting Josh Allen? Sam made some great points. And I think Sam's 100% correct in what he's saying. And like I said, you can look at this from two different ways. I look at it as, hey, most of my life, the Bills have not been in the playoffs. As long as they're in the playoffs, I'm very optimistic of what could happen. But Sam is right. I mean, they did win yesterday, but the run defense, I mean, Tanner and I would both have had 100 yards on the ground. Okay? Let's just be honest. 803-0930, star 930. I want to throw that other question in there. Do you feel the Bills are wasting Josh Allen? Is that one of your concerns? Is that where some of the negativity comes from? 803-0930, star 930. Also, when we come back, because again, I know I'm not a sports show. When we come back, I want to bring up social media algorithms. A member of Congress is blaming social media algorithms for some risque pictures showing up on his laptop while he was flying commercial. We'll get to that and so much more. It's Beamer on WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It's Joe Beamer with you on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hope your week is off to a fantastic start. Now, earlier in the show, when I kicked off the show, I mentioned an older woman at the bar with bubbles. And you're probably thinking, Joe, what the hell are you talking about? Well, yesterday there was a video on social media. She posted it herself. The governor was at a Buffalo bar somewhere and running around with a bubble machine. Now, I love bubbles. Right, my son likes bubbles. If I'm at a resort, if I'm at Senior Frogs in Las Vegas, I expect to see bubbles. Right, when I'm at a bar somewhere in New York State and it's cold on a Sunday afternoon, and there's an older woman running around with a bubble machine, I think I'd be a little annoyed. That's just me. And like I said, I wouldn't say anything. The only time you're going to get me to say something when I'm out, like a complaint at a bar, I mean, besides like you spilling something on me, if you play Fish or Grateful Dead on the jukebox for more than 5 minutes. Like if you load up the jukebox with 3 hours of Fish music, you have absolutely ruined my night. And I need to find another place to go. Right? So I wouldn't say anything, but I would be annoyed if I was at that bar and Kathy Hochul was running around with her bubble machine every time the Bills scored. 803-0930, star 930. That might be a topic. What annoys you? What things annoy you when you go out in public? I don't think we're going to do that today. That's maybe later in the week. Let's not start the week off on what annoys you. But I think it might be a good one. 803-0930, star 930. So we're talking about the Bills and just the negative vibes. Now, Sam in Williamsville made a lot of great points. And the defense leaves a lot to be desired. The defense cannot stop the run. We do have Cole Bishop, though. And he's all over the field. He had an interception. He prevented a two-point conversion. So great. Great. There are bright spots to the defense. I'm just saying, I'm 37 years old, right? 17 years of my time here on Earth, from when I was in fifth grade to when I was almost 30, the Bills didn't make the playoffs. So I'm sorry if I can't get like too doom and gloom over the possibility that they might not win the division. If they're in the playoffs, I'm psyched. I'm ready. Let's go Buffalo. So I'll continue taking your calls on that. Do you feel the Bills are wasting Josh Allen? Because I do see it from the other side, too. I know I'm saying two things. I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth. But I do get that as well. Like, there is a frustrating part of every season that goes by, Josh Allen gets older. Josh Allen, I think, is just as good, if not better, than the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. And do you feel the Bills are preventing him from getting the Super Bowl he deserves? I'm sure you could say the same thing about Jim Kelly, right? 803-0930, star 930. But I also wanted to get to this because, again, I realize if you want sports, you'll go to WGR. But, again, I'm not talking X's and O's. I'm just talking about how you're feeling about the team. So that topic is out there. Also, this happened over the weekend, and I cannot stop reading about the story. So Democrat congressman, doesn't matter what party, Democrat congressman Brad Sherman denies looking at, well, there were accusations he was looking at naughty videos and naughty pictures on an airplane while flying commercial. I mean, they were pictures of women. I mean, do I have to go any further? You understand? And, you know, someone was sitting next to the congressman and took pictures. Now, number one, I don't care if you like to look at attractive women online, right? Why you would ever open that up on a commercial airline, even if you had a screen protector, which this gentleman did not. I mean, I don't know what you're thinking. But he blamed the algorithm on X, saying it was Elon Musk's fault. Now, I have a big knowledge of algorithm, right? I'm on social media a lot, mostly for this show. I get a lot of my topic ideas from social media. I go on my social media and I look at what they have put in the For You tab, right? This is stuff that they think you will like, from stuff that you like on Twitter, posts that you engage with on X, I'm sorry, X or Twitter. That's how they determine it. Same goes for Instagram and TikTok and Facebook and all that crap. Even Blue Sky. Now, I go on to my X right now, here, as we're on the air. What's the first thing that comes up? ACC football TV schedule for week 14. Elon, why would you put that on my algorithm? No, I know exactly why. ACC football times is the number one post on my For You tab. The second, from the UB Bulls men's basketball team. Yeah, that makes sense. The SEC TV times for Thanksgiving weekend. Yeah, these all make sense. All these posts make sense. Okay? And then you got one there about President Trump. So this Pat McAfee, this all makes sense. So I'm going to call BS on the congressman, blaming the algorithm. I'm not calling BS that the algorithm is why those pictures came up, but you obviously are looking at something that would bring those pictures up, that your regular visit on X must have something to do with that kind of content. And that's why it has been suggested in your algorithm. And we're talking picture after picture after picture if you see this article in the New York Post. The reason I bring this up is not to shame Congressman Brad Sherman, even though, you know, I mean, know where you are, dude. You're on a commercial flight. Why would you even open that? Like, why would you even open X on a laptop? That's another thing I don't understand. If I have a laptop on a plane, most likely I brought it so I could watch a movie. Last time I brought a laptop on the plane, I brought my Chromebook because we were flying to Florida with my son, and it was something that he could watch, so he wouldn't, you know, he would be, he wouldn't be as antsy on the plane, right? I can't imagine in 2025 going on social media on a laptop on an airplane. But neither here nor there. I think the congressman, again, just admit, this is the kind of stuff I look at on social media, and it was in my algorithm. He's blaming Elon Musk. I want to know from the audience, at 803-0930, star 930, I want to know about your algorithm. When you sign on to a social media platform, what kind of posts are popping up? And have you ever? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm being too cruel to the congressman. Have you ever had posts pop up and you say, I have no idea why it would suggest this reel, this post, this picture, right? Like, I don't know why all of these Buffalo Sabre posts are coming up. 803-0930, star 930. And thinking of your algorithm, what percentage is right on? with the stuff you'd like to see. I would argue. Now, I also think, you know, algorithms, I mean, they play a part. And not just for your entertainment, but algorithms also help advertisers. And, you know, also get the right kind of ads that you would like. There's a reason, like, oh my gosh, I'm spending all this more money. Well, you're falling for the ads in your algorithm. 803-0930, star 930, gets you on the show. It also gets you on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. I just thought this was hilarious that he would blame Elon Musk. Brad Sherman. He says, hey, what you see me looking at, I did not seek out. I just kept scrolling because of that damn Elon Musk and his X platform. But like I said, I think over time, the algorithms have gotten better. Now, again, algorithms are another reason that I think I'll wait a while before I ever let my son have a social media, right? I don't think that's necessary. And the algorithms will, you know, will whatever he finds. The algorithms, it's great for us adults. It's great, you know, for us to find the content we're looking for. Again, I mean, it has gotten so sophisticated, and, you know, if you have a teenager on there, let's just assume what kind of stuff they're looking at. What was that? What would that populate their algorithm with? And that's why, like I say, I had MySpace when I was in high school. I mean, MySpace compared to what social media is today is a joke. I don't think I'm rushing to, and I'm not, we're going on to a different topic here, but I don't plan on being a helicopter parent, a hovering parent, right? I think, you know, you got to let your kids go out there and, you know, in a supervised way, discover the real world, right? You can't be over their shoulder their entire life. That's not going to give them a good idea of what the real world's like, right? But at the same time, like, I don't think before a certain age, social media is necessary. I don't think a smartphone's necessary before a certain age. You know, I mean, I realize that it's not 2005, or I mean, not even 2005. That's too. I realize it's not 99. You know, when we had a family phone, and if you were going somewhere on a school trip, you would get the family phone to put in your pocket. I realize times have changed. I also realize how easy it is to access anything with a smartphone, and what you can find on social media accounts. That's why I'm like, the more advanced algorithms get, again, it's impressive. Probably not something I want my my child on until a certain age, right? 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show. It also gets you on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. And you know, I've talked about this. We probably have to do this again somewhere down the road. You know, when you do finally give your child a smartphone, if you ever do, right? Like, what kind of supervision does that entail? I mean, predetermined apps? I don't know if they offer that. With a parental lock? You know, you can have Instagram for teens. And that's it. Throws in a lot of decisions that, you know, some people never had to make. It's a new generation. But these algorithms, I'm telling you, the post put the algorithm's gone wild. Again, the algorithm's based on what you've been looking at, Congressman. Anyway, 803-0930, star 930 if you want to comment on that. We're getting some comments on the text board about what annoys you in public. And I didn't know if the audience wanted to kick off a Monday with this type of topic. But hey, I am a man of the people. And if this is what the listeners want to talk about, then I will open the phone lines to, when you're out at a bar, when you're out at a restaurant, what is something that annoys you? I would say, you know, if I was at the bar with Kathy Hochul and the bubble machine, I'd be annoyed. Again, not annoyed to the point where I say something. I'll say something if you put fish on the jukebox. That is where I go, who did this? Who put this on the jukebox? Now, someone says, and I disagree, Texter, Someone says Peter Frampton 14-minute song. I think putting Do You Feel Like We Do, the live version, I think that's better than if someone, some jokester, goes to the jukebox and puts the studio version of Do You Feel Like We Do. Now, that would annoy me, because the studio version of Do You Feel Like We Do is awful. No offense to Peter Frampton. But if someone put, if someone put the entire Frampton Alive album on the jukebox, I'd say, one or two songs. Show Me the Way, Do You Feel Like We Do, Baby, I Love Your Way, get that the heck out of here. That's an awful song. Sorry, again, Peter Frampton, that ruins the whole album for me. But I think if you play two of the live, the good live songs, I think you're fine. 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show. Something you've observed when you go out to a bar or a restaurant or just a public event. And it's just like, why would you do that? You know, like you go to a Waffle House at 8 a.m. and you put the explicit versions of songs on the jukebox. Like, why did you do this? It's 8 o'clock. People are here with their families. That's not nice. That's not funny. Anyway, we'll take your calls on that. Also, when we come back, I've been holding on to this topic for days now, and I think the feeling is right in the air. We're going to do this topic today. Again, we'll do the stuff in public that annoys you. Obviously, keep those calls coming in. But I saw a statistic last week out of San Diego State University, the alma mater to the late Alan Harris. And they said that 1 in 8 incoming freshmen do not know basic math. Now, I am not here to comment on that, on math, and I am in no position to make fun of anyone who doesn't know basic math, as, you know, I had to take algebra twice just to get out of high school. But I will ask this question. 1 in 8 incoming freshmen. So these are students that their grades were good enough to get into college, right? So they're not dumb. They're incoming freshmen. They are going to be going to college. Is basic math necessary? Sorry, math teachers. I know. Is basic math, or hold on, not basic math, is complex math, right? I'm talking about the stuff they taught you later on in high school, 10th, 12th, 11th grade. Is that necessary for the average student? Now, if you're going into, if you're going to be a math teacher, or if you're going into accounting or business or something, obviously in college, these things should be addressed. But could we use students' time to better prepare them for the real world and get rid of a year or two of math? I'll tell you why I think this, and why I think the answer is yes. 803-0930, star 930. Could we eliminate 2 or 3 years of high school math and add classes that would better equip students for the real world? 803-0930, it's Beamer on WBEN. Yes, hour number two. 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show. We've got a few topics floating around out there. We talked about the Bills to kick off the show. Are you like me and just optimistic? Hey, they're still in the playoff position. They won. The defense is a problem. But they're winning. They're back to winning. Also, do you think the team's wasting Josh Allen? We talked about that in the first segment. Last segment, we talked about algorithms a little bit. And things that people do, you know, at bars, restaurants, in public that annoy you. I said, you know, if I was at the bar with Governor Kathy Hochul, she was running around with a bubble machine yesterday during the Bills game. Like, that would annoy me. Not enough to where I would say anything, right? Now, what what you would have to do if I'm at a bar and you're playing Fish on the jukebox, I'm gonna say something. Who put, I mean, this Fish song is 45 minutes. Who put this on the jukebox? This is awful. Someone said Peter Frampton's 14-minute song, Do You Feel Like We Do? Everyone's open to their own opinion. I disagree. I would love if that came on the jukebox. But the texter says the guitar solo is too long. I can understand people being upset with that. 803-0930, star 930 if you want to comment on that. I was just going to make a passing comment about the governor and the bubble machine and move on. And then people were texting in stuff that annoys them when they're out at bars, out at restaurants, or in public. So I'm going to keep that open on the text board and 803-0930, star 930 if you want to call it in. But I've been having this math topic. This has been loaded up, ready to go for almost a week now. And I thought it would be, I thought it'd be something interesting to bring up. And now to set this up, and this might be why you hear what I'm about to say and you completely disagree. You have to remember, math has always been a weakness for me. Okay. I failed math my freshman year of high school, had to take it again, 10th grade. It was algebra. I continuously dropped out of math classes in college because I was failing, and what's the point of continuing past the dropout date? So I continually dropped the class, and then I'll just take it again next year, and that's why I needed a fifth year. So math has never been strong for me. Now, the statistic that came out, and this is according to the University of San Diego State, sorry, where they say that 1 in 8 incoming freshmen, so these are people who have been accepted into school, right? So they're smart enough, their grades are good enough to get into college, that they do not know basic math. Now, when I hear basic math, I'm assuming they mean something more than 2 plus 2. But in a world where we have our calculators on us at all times, can we cut off math at an earlier age? And this is, I don't mean if you're going to accounting or into business. I mean, you know, after maybe the first round of algebra, do we need calculus? I know my calculus. It's U plus me equals us. I know I've made that joke before. It's bad, Joe. And there's probably two people that remember that movie because that movie's 20-some years old. Anyway, do we really need anything past that in schools in 2025? I remember my teacher said you're not going to always have a calculator in your pocket. You were wrong. I do. So instead, and I'm not saying we just drop it and have more free time in school, but think about the things that you wish you were taught about the real world in school. And what would be beneficial to children, to young adults, to teenagers, might be more helpful in the real world than a math class. Like, what's one of the top issues with young adults and people in their 30s and 40s in America in 2025? It's the increasing credit card debt, to which I have been guilty. I have dished out my financial issues and awful situations I put myself in at a younger age, which takes a long time to get out of. Wouldn't it be more beneficial to high school students, to upcoming adults, to have a class that taught the importance of budgeting? You know who taught me to budget? My father, when I was in my mid-30s, right? I didn't learn how to budget in school. Now, I would say that I would use the knowledge of how to budget. I would say that's more important than finding the value of X. Which, by the way, if you write a budget a certain way, you might be trying to find the value of X. I would say a class like that, right? I took a class on how to write checks. We don't need that class anymore. How about being responsible with credit cards and, just stuff that, again, we were thrown out in the real world. And you know, I mean, there is self-responsibility as well. I don't blame anyone else but myself for my problems because they're my problems. I caused them. They're no one else's fault. But it would be nice if there was an intro to real-world finances, an intro to the stuff that life throws you, you know? Maybe, now, the schools would never do this because the colleges would push back, but, you know, a realistic evaluation of what you're going to make when you graduate with what degree. Wouldn't it be nice if the senior year, instead of your high school counselor pushing you to go to college, you know, if you don't go to college, you're gonna be struggling from day one. I don't think so. wouldn't it be nice if there was some type of class that could incorporate that? Like, hey, if you go to college for, you know, insert unique degree. You know, the average that you will graduate making is $27,000. Now, I think that would be nice if that was incorporated my senior year, if I was given that information. Now, again, it's 2025, and I can see the other side of this argument. 2025, you know, you're 17, you're 18, you're looking at colleges, you are becoming a young adult. Maybe take matters into your own hands and look up those numbers. But I think it would be nice if those were presented in a classroom setting. Just real-world situations. Getting you ready for the real world. And, by the way, there's also a good number of high school students that, hey, they're not going to go to college. They're going to enter the job market day one after graduation. It'd be nice if they had a little bit of a head start. Because, as I say, college isn't for everybody. Wouldn't it be nice if instead of a math class, we had different... Now, yes, we do have different classes for learning the trades. And, you know, if I could go back in time, would I maybe do that? I don't know. I love what I do. But would that have been something I could have added? So, you know, if one of my bosses did come down here and tell me today was my last day, I actually had some kind of skill to fall back on. That would be nice. So my point is... I'm not saying let's get rid of 2 plus 2 or 2 minus 2. I'm saying, isn't there a point where math is not important in everyday life and we could replace those with classes that got young adults ready for the real world? I'm not taking away self-responsibility, but it would be nice if we could try to tackle the increasing credit card debt in this country before it becomes more of a problem. The amount of defaults we have in this country. And again, this is coming from someone who has, you know, unfortunately contributed to those statistics. I'm not proud of it. And like I said, you can make a mistake 10 years ago and it's still there. Right? It's still something that you're trying to climb back from. Would be nice. I think that would be more useful of time, of high schoolers' time, than advanced algebra and calculus for the average student. What do you think? 803-0930, *930. That is the number to get on the show. We go to our friend John in Holland. John, happy Monday.
Hey, happy Monday, Beamer. First, I just need to say that anytime I'm at a restaurant or a bar and a jam band is actually playing, I get upset because I know for the next 12 to 25 minutes, I'm stuck on the same interlude.
100%.
Or when the band OAR was really popular and that song Crazy Game of Poker would play, and you're like, oh, but have you heard this version that they played in some college frat house in Columbus? And I'm like, no, because it's 17 minutes long. I've got other things to do. I came here to drink, not to listen to OAR.
And you know what's worse, John, is when a band, like a jam band's on and like the bartender's a huge fan and they get the remote to the jukebox and they crank it up And it's like, oh my God, I wish I could put this beer back into the tab, pay off my tab, and get the hell out of here.
Every now and then, I'd actually feel bad for the person that put the buck into the jukebox to listen to their 14-minute song, and somebody tells the bartender, like, listen, this song's going to go on, and your shift isn't going to be over yet, and they literally hit the next button, that person's out that buck. Every now and then, I feel bad.
Well, see, and we need to go back to where people have to walk up to the jukebox, because now that you can do it from your phone, and no one knows who tortured us with 80 minutes of this awful music, I think that was the start to all this, John.
I got to have ownership. If I don't know who I'm going to be pissed at for the rest of the night, I just don't know how to handle myself.
Exactly.
So, Joe, I love the topic about mathematics. And you hit some really amazing points that I was already thinking about, but I kind of want to turn it back around. So, you know, we're almost breaching and coming up on the idea of why aren't we just doing early aptitude tests on younger high school students and see whether they actually have an affinity for the mathematics or not. You know, the idea of doing finance or economics, yeah, you're not sitting there solving for X, but you do have to have a pretty decent understanding of, you know, rudimentary mathematics. And there are some kids that come out of high school that do struggle with the 2+2, right? So how are you going to effectively teach them what budgeting is, what the cost of living is, what they, you know, just because you're a W-2 employee, they go, well, I don't have to pay for health care. Well, have you actually looked at your W-2 statement to realize what you're actually paying for health care? I mean, I think that there's a bit more involved in there. So the question is how do we supplement it? We got rid of those home ec classes in the 90s. We stopped teaching kids how to balance checkbooks because you don't need to because it's on your phone. You don't need to worry about how much money you have until the banking app tells you don't have enough to buy something. So where do we have that? Like, I guess my question to you would be, what's the cutoff line? At what point do we go, yeah, this is enough math for you to get by? Or my idea, why are we not running aptitude tests like they would in the past? I mean, we would want to see if you've got an affinity for this type of thing. Well, hell, maybe we have a student who maybe they struggled a little bit in math but didn't have maybe, I don't know, the remediation or whatever they needed. They could have been phenomenal at it, and they go on to be a civic engineer or something to that nature, where you are, yes, using mathematics every single day. Because I think about what I did and what I do, I use math daily. And I don't just use, you know, 1+1. I'm sitting here, you know, running numbers, making sure that, you know, pitches on roofs are right, things to that nature. That's not your average math. So what do we replace it with?
I think that's a great idea, John, the aptitude test, because I have to say, like, yeah, there is an extent of math, not to quote the movie Matilda, but where you can multiply big numbers, where you can be able to find that, again, for putting a budget together. You have to be able to add or at least know how to line up the numbers and put them into the calculator on your phone. Yeah, I think up until ninth grade, I think the first algebra. And then I like your idea of take the aptitude test because, yeah, for certain careers, you don't want to go into college far behind if it's something you're going to use. But again, we have an issue of people, you know, thinking, oh, I got this plastic money. I can just spend it all and throw the card away and you know, it's not going to come back and haunt me. And I think we have too many people that are falling victim to that.
You know, and I agree with that, but to your point of maybe we should have a class teaching kids what, you know, what field yields what results in terms of a monetary sense, but fiscal responsibility, is that something that we're going to put on a school and say, it's up to you to teach a kid how to be responsible with the money that comes in and out? Isn't it, at least in my house, it was incumbent on my parents to kind of go, here's what a credit card is, it's not your money.
You're absolutely right.
That matter, career coaching, a guidance counselor, I think, gets you to the idea of, hey, you've taken these classes. Maybe this is something that you could go do, but shouldn't it be on the parents to be actively involved in their kids' learning and go, hey, listen, you can go that route, but you're going to probably make X, which then I guess they have to solve for. So it blows the whole thing up if we don't solve for X in the first place.
No, John, you're absolutely right. But, you know, I will tell you from my vantage point, my parents, you know, they warned me about plastic money. And then I turned 21 and all their warnings went out the door. If there was a class that was stressing that, because I agree with you, I mean, it's on parenting, too. And I don't want to give bad parents an excuse to continue to be bad parents. You get what I'm saying? I completely understand where you're coming from. But I think if I had if I had a class, if I had, you know, someone put in numbers, and again, I mean, there's enough now in 2025, enough news stories, enough real life where you can illustrate, hey, yeah, that credit card that you ran up, it maxed out and never paid when you were 21, and now at 25, 26, you're trying to get a house, you're trying to get a car. You know what I mean? And that puts it in a perspective that I think a lot of kids will just tune out if their parents say it. But if they saw it in a class and it was told to them over and over again, I think it hits differently. Again, I don't disagree with you. Parents have a responsibility, and we should never give bad parents an excuse to continue to be bad parents. But I think that I think the problem we have, the epidemic we have with debt in this country, I'd like to see some kind addressed in the school system.
You know, and I agree it should be. Economics was a required course when I was in high school back in ye olden day, and from what I understand, economics are not it's not a course that's required to be taken. And I took it when I was a senior. I learned a fair deal, to be perfectly honest. I mean, we played, you know, the fake stock market games. We did talk about things like household incomes, budgets, what mortgages look like. All of that stuff just kind of went by the wayside over the last 25 years, where it's not a required course. Maybe it's not the function, oh, the school can say, well, we offer those courses. We offer those courses. Well, what are the enrollments? Do you maybe need to start forcing these kids into these classes to learn about this stuff? Because like you said, regardless of whether you're turning out of high school, graduating and going right into the job market, or graduating and going right into college, you're going to need this basic knowledge on how to actually handle money and how to make your money make money potentially, because there are people out there that have never spent a day in college, work in the trades, and have figured out how to invest their money better than some people that are actual financial advisors. So maybe the school's responsible for saying we have to lay that that foundational groundwork, then you do with it as you please.
Yeah, John, I don't disagree, man. I don't disagree. And, you know, I remember the days of, I think I took one of the last home ec classes at Amherst where, you know, the classroom had the stovetops, the ovens, the refrigerators. We had to take a bag of sugar home and pretend it was a child for a week.
Yeah, and then the kids would burn themselves on the stove, and then all of a sudden home ec got shut down. I don't know how you didn't figure that one out by the time you hit 10th grade.
Yeah. Hey, John, always great catching up with you. John in Holland, 803-0930, star 930. We got to hit a break. When we come back, we will have fellow Madai alum Rashid Wyatt on, as well as you. 803-0930, star 930. It's Beamer on WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
So when I hear this song, there used to be a bar at on Sheridan called Alternative Brews. It was like one of the last bars you could smoke in, right? And I mean, you had some tough people there, right? And you would have the dart players, and they play with real darts. And I went there once with a bunch of friends, and I played that song on the jukebox. Let me tell you, me playing that song on the jukebox, people were reacting to me as if how I would react if I was at a bar and someone played 30 minutes of Fish music. So I get it. I get it. It was a bad read on my part. 803-0930, star 930. Talking math class. 1 in 8 incoming freshmen don't know basic math, according to the University of San Diego State. I say, couldn't we cut back on math, you know, with everything we have in 2025, calculators in our pockets, we actually do have those on our phone, and maybe teach some real world stuff to get kids better, or young adults better ready, better prepared for the real world. 803-0930, star 930, and we welcome on Buffalo Common Council member Rashid Wyatt. Rashid, welcome to the show.
Hey, Joe. Hey, thank you for the subject, because this has been on my mind for a while. It seems as though our educational system has fallen behind. I mean, our educational system throughout the world, we're way behind. When we used to be one of the top educational institutions in the world, now we're falling behind and we're not keeping up. I mean, with the advent of AI, I think that we may have to start looking at things and changing things up, because that is real. And I think sometimes we get stuck in our old way of doing things. And I give you a perfect example. It's just the math that we do. Well, they say math is universal. So I'm trying to figure out how many other ways can they teach it other than the way that I learned it when I went to school 81. And we had a teacher, a math teacher named Mr. Wisnowski, and he taught us math that, you know, I still remember to this day about my fractions and percentages, things like that that are really necessary to understand and know. But right now with AI and these other apps that you're talking about, I think it's time for us to start looking at not only math, but our educational system. I think we have to update it and revise it, but we're just so caught into this web of, you know, employment and jobs, but not really looking at how do we improve our outcomes for children? How do we make them excited about learning? When you have a phone, a smartphone that can get you any answer that you want, is it really necessary to remember all the things that we had to learn when we were younger? So it's just having a conversation about what is it that we can do to have better outcomes for our children and families, because in some cases there are parents who can't even help these children because of the new math and those types of things that, you know, I learned basic math and I was pretty decent at it because I had a great a teacher, but I still think a lot of those things still exist today. And it seems as though we keep moving the goalposts on math and those types of things, teaching it a different way, when the basic way that I learned it was still the basic way I teach my grandchildren. And it works.
You know, Rashid, you talk about AI, and I think that's such a great point. I mean, AI really, it's not only changed the workforce, it is changing the world, and it is going to be a part of the future, whether we like it or not. How do we implement that, and how do we prepare the next generation to be able to survive in a world with artificial intelligence, you know, be able to be employable in a world with artificial intelligence?
Yeah, I mean, Joe, and that's an interesting point, Joe, and that's one of the conversations, you know, instead of Democrats and Republicans stopping children from eating, those are the types of things that we should be concentrating on. How do we get our children ready? I was watching something on 60 Minutes last night where they were talking about AI understanding. I mean, as a grocery store, a little deli store, AI is going there and trying to figure out and learning what your purchase is like, giving you different responses. There's so much to this thing that we haven't, we've only touched the tip of the iceberg, but we should be teaching our young people about AI and the benefits of it and teaching them how to use it. Because it's just like when we talked about solar panels and that whole solar industry. We should be teaching our young people about new wave technology and how we have to start saving this planet. Those are real things that we should be teaching our kids. Old ways of doing math, and I know you're good at calculus. I wasn't that good at it. But the basic fundamentals we want to have children to be able to do. I don't want AI to just, like, you know, I'll write something and I'll run it through AI, but I still write it. I'm the original author of my thought. I don't want AI coming up with my thought, but although AI can do that. So those are real things that we need to teach our young people and teach people about this thing of AI, because it's going to take over. And we need to learn how to use it. We need to learn how to adapt it to learning, because I still want us to be able to problem solve. Our children should be able to problem solve and think things through, but they should also be able to utilize AI in the way that it can be beneficial, providing for them a livelihood for them and their families.
100%. Now, you know, another issue, Rashid, that I brought up last segment, and you are on the Education Committee. You're also on the Budget Committee. And, you know, we have a nationwide epidemic where, I mean, credit card debt, credit card defaults, loan defaults, I mean, at an all-time high. Do you think there is a place for, in our education system, to prepare young adults so maybe we don't have this problem in the next generation with high credit card debt and high default rates?
Joe, I think we have a place and we must make a place. I put through a resolution a couple of years ago about the Buffalo school system teaching finance, teaching budgeting. You talked about home economics. I learned how to cook from home economics. I was taught some of the basics at home economics. And I think that, especially in a city like Buffalo, the third poorest of our size, we have to start teaching financial literacy to these children, or they will not be successful. They'll get $3,000 and waste it. Those are real things, again, as you talked about, we have to start teaching our children real-world things. I went to a small business school many years ago, and it taught me about accounting. My professor was a CPA. She taught me real world information about how to do debits and credits and do ledgers and those things. We have to teach our children those types of things. You know, it's one thing to teach theory. I went to UB. They taught me about theory and accounting. I learned nothing. But going to this business school and teaching the actual mechanisms about balance sheets and cash flows, I mean, those things really stood with me, and I still don't know to this day. And so I really think that the overhaul in talking about how do we teach our children has to be in how do we get them engaged. And it can't be the same old way, someone standing in front of the room and preaching to them all day. I mean, it has to be more hands-on type of learning, hands-on type of engagement, as well as, honestly, it has to even extend to their parents. Because I know there was a time when my children would come home with problems that I couldn't help them with. And so instead of this being a two-way street where the teacher is providing some information and the parent is providing support, the parent is frustrated. The child goes back home to school frustrated because they didn't learn anything. They couldn't comprehend it. And I think it's got to be a more holistic approach. But those are the types of conversations that we should be having. And honestly, I'm going to tell you, AI might be the vehicle that it happens in.
For sure. For sure. Now, Rashid, you went to a lot of school, right? You did UB, you were at Madai. You definitely had your way, post high school. Now, you have people like me. It took me 5 years just to get a 4-year degree. Do you think, you know, talking about how schools have not adjusted with the times, I'm of the belief that college isn't for everybody, right? I don't know if you put me back in 2007, Rashid, if I make the same decision. You know, maybe I try to, you know, intern here instead of go to college. Do you think public schools in the city and beyond prepare children and, you know, how do I word this? Prepare children for stepping into the workforce at 18 for those children that maybe college just isn't an option?
You know, Joe, I think you said something early on about assessing children at an early age, or someone said that. And I think those are important. I think that we have to start learning as a society, you know, the Myers-Briggs. I know I was a fan of Myers-Briggs. And when I had employees, I had them take Myers-Briggs so I could figure out what area in my department could they be most effective based on their natural innate abilities. And I think we need to use tools like that to find out how can we best teach our children. And some of that may be, again, AI might be that vehicle. Because I do agree, not everyone is capable of adapting to college, but they can do other things. When I was going to school, I was able to go to vocational school, and that was very helpful, although I'm not in that vocation because I went to Seneca and I took up electronics. I'm not in that vocation, but it was an option for me. If I didn't go to college, I did have that I probably could have went up to a union and applied and asked to get in the union. But we have to give those young people other options. And unfortunately, it doesn't seem like those options exist as much anymore. I mean, we have the Northland Workforce Training Center. I know when I talked to the executive director initially There were issues with children being able to get there because they couldn't read on a certain level, and the math was beyond them. So there are real things that we have to start looking at and seeing how can we get better outcomes, because we do know AI is going to be a big part of it, but there's still going to be a component that you're going to need the human element. How do we make sure kids are ready for that human element, have the skill sets to do that? And it may not be the traditional way of what we've always learned, what we've always taught. It may be a vehicle where AI will assist us in that. And it, because AI is, I put my resume on AI, which was just unbelievable. And once I processed it through AI, I was like, who is that person? I was like, is that me? But it was impressive that it was able to take that information that we struggled with when we're putting our application out for different jobs and things, and we're trying to make sure we have the right wording. Well, AI does that for you naturally, and maybe in doing so, they may have a better opportunity than they would otherwise.
Rashid Wyatt, University District Council Member. Rashid, before I let you go, we were talking about something on Friday, and I'd love your input. Now, again, I know you're university district, but downtown Buffalo is a problem, right? I mean, Ted's Hot Dogs closed. That's another business on the list of businesses leaving downtown Buffalo. Rashid Wyatt, how do we fix downtown Buffalo? How do we get people back downtown?
Joe, I don't know. I've talked to a few people who are business people who think that downtowns are just a lost cause, especially in our environment. You can go put all this more money downtown, but is that going to yield you what you want? We put a lot of money downtown with doing different things. But I don't know if we have the right people at the table to make some of those decisions that are very engaging. Some of them are going to be intense. I remember during the campaign, they had talked about utilizing the old the place where we used to eat at the main place mall. We're using opening it up for maybe people who are homeless. You know, we have to reimagine things, not the way that we want them, but the way that we can utilize them in the best way to assist our residents. To see Ted's close, to see Bocce's Pizza close, who tried downtown, it's sending a signal. And I don't know if we can put money. I know they keep talking about bringing more people downtown. Well, they brought people downtown. They had a grocery store. The grocery store closed. I don't know what else. I'm at my wit's end. But I think we'd have to have a little more engagement with the people to find out, what do you think? Let's get their opinion, because I think we got a lot of people that come up with these ideas, these grandiose ideas. But the people who I'm talking about, who are business people, really think that to spend more money downtown may not be the wisest decision.
Councilmember Rashid Wyatt, always great talking with you. Really appreciate you calling in today.
Absolutely, Joe. You take care. Thanks for the conversation.
Of course, always. That is University District Councilmember Rashid Wyatt. Always great talking with Rashid Wyatt, fellow Madai College alumni. And, perfect conversation for him. He's on the education committee. He's right. I mean, you go through school, I mean, things are going to have to adjust with the times. And I think he's absolutely right about artificial intelligence. We talk about the jobs AI could take. Well, how are we going to equip the next generation to be employable in a time where artificial intelligence is going to be obviously bigger than it is today, right? It continues to grow. So are we prepared? Is the next generation prepared for what that's going to look like 10, 20 years down the road? And I also appreciate him. I appreciate the answer on downtown. We talked about that Friday, and you'll see a story, I believe, on WBEN.com about downtown Buffalo as well. It's obviously a big focus. And, you know, I have to say this before we get to the next show. Over the weekend, I had so many people trying to own me on social media, trying to dunk on me on social media. All I was mentioning was a reality that the Ted's downtown closed. And you have so many people saying, well, Joe, you don't understand. They weren't open on the weekends. Their hours, this, that. I didn't debate any of that. All I said was, it's another business. It put a focus on businesses that have closed, that are leaving downtown Buffalo. That was the whole point. But people were trying to say, well, it's Ted's. What do you think? The point wasn't Ted's. I love Ted's, by the way. The point wasn't Ted's. The point was, it was another business to add to the list of businesses leaving. Your business coming in is Ingram Micro. And you have all these businesses, popular businesses, like Toutant, that closed up shop. They left. I think every time someone closes their doors, I think that's a discussion that we need to open back up. And I appreciate the council member for his comments. And I appreciate last Friday. I thought that was going to be a one segment topic. We did the whole show on it. And I think it needs to be a focus. Because again, 2 months from now, according to, I believe it was Business Insider, but I will get the source for tomorrow. But according to one source, 30% of at-home workers are going to be forced to at least come in on a hybrid schedule. Does that happen downtown? Does that affect downtown if more people are coming to work downtown? That's a question that will be answered in just a few weeks. But we will have to wait and see how that goes. And again, it's something that I will continue to bring up because I like to try to be optimistic, and I think it's it needs a focus. It needs to be in focus to see where we go from here. I know where we go from here. We go to the Tom Bowerly Show. He's up next, and Tom is with us now. Tom, happy Monday.
Yes, that's somewhat of an oxymoron, but let's see. The Buffalo Bills somehow won yesterday. The Buffalo Sabres came back from a, 4-1 deficit over the weekend against Detroit and Tage Thompson, so we can keep that game in mind as well. And Paul McCartney with an absolutely monumental, stirring, and lengthy show at the arena. And if anybody was there, if you want to send me emails to review the show, by all means, send an email to tom@wben.com. But, Joe, we're going to start out today talking about something that has nothing to do with Paul McCartney, the Buffalo Sabres, or the Buffalo Bills. And I know people were waiting for my X's and O's analysis of every single play and how it was scripted and how it worked out, but I guess I'm just going to refrain from doing that. Sorry. I almost made myself choke with laughter. There's a lot of military activity going on off the coast of Venezuela. You ever been to Venezuela?
I have not. Not yet.
Venezuela is a beautiful country. At least it was before the commies took over. But it looks as though there may be American military action in Venezuela. And Joe?
Yes.
I think that Donald Trump should have his head examined if he commits American military forces anymore to a conflict with Venezuela. They can use drugs all they want as a pretext, but what this is really about is regime change to get the Maduro dude out of there. And I didn't vote for Donald Trump because I really liked everlasting war. One of the reasons I voted for Donald Trump was he was talking about how we can't have everlasting, forever wars anymore.
Right. It's America first.
It should be America first. Yep. And look, I know people who've died of fentanyl overdoses. I'm sure you may as well. I think, unfortunately, a lot of people know people who have gotten down with the drug situation and the fentanyl deaths. But it seems to me that our black ops people could probably do a much better job without committing to any kind of a major military action against Venezuela. And by the way, Joe, I mean, tell me the last time the United States ever stuck its you-know-what into another country's affairs with the military and things actually worked out just fine and dandy.
Yeah, I can't remember it. I can't. And you know, the whole point of securing the borders was to decrease the fentanyl in this country. And I think the president's done a great job with that. I agree with you. I voted for less wars. I voted for America first. I did not vote for regime changes. I think, like you said, we've tried that in the past. And, you know, I mean, some of those things happened when I was in high school and just recently have come to an end. So.
Yeah, so basically, look, I mean, I really do not want to see the United States involved in any large-scale military operation in Venezuela or anywhere else. This is just a stupid idea. Stupid.
Tom, I can't wait to hear the show, and glad that the team's all back together this Monday.
We are? Sorry. Yes. I'm having fun, Joe. I'm just having fun. So do you think people are going to be a little bit surprised by my take on this?
I think you've described it to the point where I wouldn't be surprised. Knowing you, I wouldn't be surprised. I think you echo what a lot of people think, but don't feel comfortable saying. Does that make sense?
Well, I have no filter, and at this point in my life, Joe, something really strange has happened. Like, I care in many respects, but on the other hand, I don't care if I'm controversial. How's that?
That's why everyone loves you, Tom.
I'll bring Hillary back with us as well.
Tom Bowerly.
She's still alive. I haven't heard from Hillary in a while.
It's been a while. It has been a while. Now, Tom Bowerly is up next after the news with Tom Puckett. Thank you for the calls. Thank you, Councilmember Rashid Wyatt, for joining the show. I will be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock, but don't touch that dial. Tom Bowerly is on his way after this on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.